Well, I had a message this morning. We'll have to see how what we're going to get there or not. The Lord spoke to me this morning. We had, you folks, Eileen told me this morning, we had, if you remember, Mike had been in the hospital. He had operation on his leg. They replaced a vein in his leg and that stuff. He was having trouble then with his foot area and that stuff. There was a blood clot, and it was keeping the blood flowing through the foot, and they were telling him they might have to cut his foot off, and they did surgery, and they got the blood flow back, and everything was running good. And so I want you to, so Eileen told me this morning that they had got a bad report this morning. Now, I want to talk to you. The Spirit of God wants, I want to talk to you about this, because number one, you need to be careful. See, this is one thing as I learned over the years with Christians. You just don't throw something out there as a problem, because people will go praying wrong. You know, this is one thing, is, and I want you to understand something here. I'm not, this is not to anybody or critical. You know, you folks remember, you know, when ones of you and my wife, they found out that one valve in her heart had gone, and they talked about the operation and stuff, and we knew all the things. You know, we knew that she was going to go in the one Monday morning and go in for surgery and stuff. And this thing had gone on for, we had, you know, knew it was going to happen. And I never told the church. And the reason I didn't at that time till the day is, number one, is for this purpose. I learned over time, when you throw things out there, not everybody's praying in the same direction. And you know what? You know, this is thing that I learned, and I learned from people of wisdom that have proved it out. And you know what? I proved it out in my life over the years. We pray too quick. We pray before we think. You know, Lester Summerall said, Christians do two things. He said they don't think, and they don't read thick books. And this is one of them. They don't read. It's too thick. You can't get it done in 20 minutes and I can go do what I want. It's good preaching, folks. Now, I don't do that to be critical. I have just learned over the years. Tawanda and I were settled on the fact of where we're standing and what we're standing in. See, I don't want you praying for what we're praying one direction, you're praying another. What good is that? It's of no value. The Bible says, if two agree as by touching anything they ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. It didn't say, if people pray, it'll be done. Don't say that. Or two agree. So when Wanda and I, now number one, our agreement was more important. See, if I wouldn't think you people could agree with us, I wouldn't even told you at all. That's the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do is ask some people to pray for you. Now, I'm not confused. You need to know the people when you ask to pray that can they, will they agree with you? Will they hook up where you're at? Will they stand? Can they? We don't know if they agree. So that Sunday morning, I walked in and to the church, and I told everybody that Wanda had already went into the hospital because he had to prepare ahead for that the Monday surgery. And so, and I told the people, I told them at that time, is what going on? I said, don't worry. We ain't worried. We ain't scared. We ain't. But I said, this is what we're believing for. And I read off the things that we were standing and agreeing on. And I said to everybody, if you're going to want to pray something else, don't do it. Don't bother praying at all. This is where we're standing. This is we believe. So this is what we're agreeing on. And you could ask Wanda, everything we agreed on, we got. Everything. Just like we... See, the prayer works. It's getting in agreement. It's getting in agreement. Now, we're dealing with areas concerning Mike. We already have an agreement with Mike concerning with God. See, I'm not going to pray again about that. See, we need to understand. I want you to get a hold of this. Because, you know, sometimes it's very, what people do is something comes along. They pray and they stand. Now look, Mark, let me just read you, and I could quote it to you out of the Bible, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible. Mark 11:24, what it says. Mark 11:20, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, Now that word ask there also means to, or word desire. You could desire, you pray, whatever you desire, or in other words, it leaves the idea of what you could desire. In another translation of that word is require, whatever thing you require when you pray. Now I want you to get a hold of this. God never said it. Jesus and Christ himself, the Son of God, he said that he never says anything the Father don't say, and he never said did anything the Father didn't do. He said himself, whatever thing you ask or you desire or you require. He didn't say whatever God wants. He never said that. Oh, that burns me when I listen to Christian even preachers preaching. Well, now we only want what God wants. Well, find out what he wants and then let's call for prayer. Other than that, keep your blab mouth shut. You find out what God, you need to know when you go into prayer. You don't go into prayer and something I don't know. Because you're going to leave prayer with, I don't know. Well, we ask God what? Do you think anything is going to happen? Not sure, I don't know. You never know what God will do. Well, I do. He told me what I ask for, whatever I ask. This is written to Christians. It ain't written to heathens. This, I'm not asking for sinful stuff. If you are, you need another dip. Something's wrong with you. We're not doing that. We're Christians. We're called, we're coming with the idea to ask God for something he desires, something he has done for us. Whether if it's healing, we know he did it. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. That's a promise that we can just walk, we can have that because he said it. He made a promise on it. You think he lied about it? Did himself, Jesus Christ, take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses? See, we believe he took our sins. Yeah, he took my sins, but his, you just never know if he wants you well at all or not. If he wants me sick. How did God tell me one time? Well, the devil can heal. I said, if the devil will heal me and God won't, I'll go to the devil. I said, dear Lord. He said, you wonder why people chase the devil? I said, the church told them to, because God's no good. You can't trust him. You never know what he wants to do. Sometimes he wants to do evil to you. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, I come that you might have life. I'm going to tell you, we got a God. That's a God that's worth, you know, that's a God worth worshiping. You know, it's like years ago, I was preaching and there was a guys came into the church and they sat in a row together. They were all sat in a row together. And actually I was teaching on healing. And, I was talking about, you know, with people saying, you know, some they don't know, you know, that people say, you know, God wants you sick for a reason. And, the one guy just blurted out and spoke, that he does that to humble us. And the Holy Spirit brought me to mind, and I said this right back to him. I said, well, I said, I wonder what great sin those kids did up here in the children's hospital that got cancer and all that stuff. I wonder what great sin that they did that they need humbled. And he just sat there looking really dumb, thank God, because he was really dumb. You know, we look at God does things to humble people. Your stupidity will humble you because you're going to reap what you sow. Let me believe it. You'll get humbled. God don't need to drop a rock on your head if you're the one that does it. I've done enough dumb to me. God didn't have to. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, God is good. But he said, whatever thing you desire, we're asking when we pray. What did he tell us to do? Believe that you receive them, or them what? Those things that you ask or you require. You believe that you receive them. See, this is the important thing, is that people don't believe they receive something. They're going to believe they get it when everything's working fine and everything's good. Then I got it. That isn't what Scripture says. You believe you get it before you see it. You believe you have it before you feel it. That's faith. See, I accepted Christ by faith. I received a God I never saw. I received a God I never felt. The Word said what to do, and I believed on Him. That was faith. And you know what? It manifested. Salvation manifested in me. I passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. I became a different person. I got born again. A heathen, a drunk and drugs and whatever else. And man, I had a changed life. See, when I believed on something that I could not see, when I believed on something that I could not feel, it changed my life. See, today, Christianity mostly is a feel good, feel this, feel that, really nice. I had goosebumps in the service today. Well, great. I didn't. But you know what? My God will respond to me probably quicker than the goosebump person. Because I have to respond to Him by faith. Because I didn't feel a thing. So if I want something, I'm just going to have to believe the word so. Hallelujah. The greatest faith you'll ever have. The greatest thing will ever happen isn't a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. The greatest thing you'll ever have is you believe the word. Jesus said concerning the centurion he said, just give me the word. And he said, my servant will be made well. Jesus told him, go your way, your servant's healed. And he left. And Jesus said, I haven't found such great faith in all Israel. His 12 disciples who have been hanging around, following, listen to his teaching all the time, and a Gentile outdid them. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a Gentile that outdid them. Hallelujah. That's who I am. I'm a Gentile that outdid them. Glory to God. I believe the word. See, that's what great faith is. Great faith isn't doing some huge biggie. Just believing what God said and walk around and act like it's true. Hallelujah. That's great faith. Well, Jesus said so. I don't think He's wrong. Hallelujah. If I came and I got born again, I had great faith the day that I came and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. I believed on a God. I believed it. I believed it was true. I believed it and walked in it. Now we're going through all that. We haven't sidetracked. We want to get over it because if we want to concerning standing for Mike, I want you to understand we're going to talk about what we need to do. It's important what we do. And I want you to learn this because I have seen the failure of many times. I've had to do funerals for people because they got setbacks and they turned around and just changed everything they were doing. They threw under the bus everything they were believing and went on to another something else believing. And I watched. I've had to do it. I've had to try to get people to stop it. Now, see, as number one, I believe this. In fact, I know Mike, when Mike was in before, was in the hospital with when they were going to operate on him, that stuff, and I went in to see him and talk to him, and him and I sit and discuss concerning what he believed. And I tell you, I mean, Mike knew where he was standing. He knew where he was believing. And so we agreed together there. And see, one of the things that we agreed, and I also talked to you folks here, and we prayed here at the church, we agreed with him here. You know, I want you to understand, we don't move off that agreement. We don't start a new one. You don't start a new agreement just because there's a setback. You don't start doing something else because if you do, you're not in faith. You need to get a hold of this with people and dealing with it because it is common. It is common. In my own faith, in my own life, I've had things I've stood for and things looked like they were going good and they had a setback. And when they had a setback, the first thing that come to your mind, well, this ain't working. You can't go there. See, your flesh is going. We talked about the arm of the flesh. We sang it this morning. Will fail you. Sorry to say, most people will follow the arm of flesh when there's a setback. They'll call it faith, but it's the arm of flesh. You don't move. Don't move away from what you have in your heart. We believed, I wasn't believing for a partial recovery for Mike or on a few weeks, a total recovery. That's what I was believing. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be moved from that. I don't care what I see. I don't care what is going on or what's happening. I believe where I stood. That's what I believe. That's where you stand. You don't go to something else. You start acting like it ain't working and it won't work. No, I don't care what it is. I have seen, sometimes either the most miraculous things you'll see under the greatest pressing circumstances. Great miracles don't happen because things are going pretty good. You don't even need one if it's going pretty good, so forget it. You want to see a miracle? The Lord spoke to me a few years ago about the subject of working of miracles. And he said this to me. He said, because in my life, you know, I tell you guys things that I went through and stuff and things and how God worked through me. I've had some pretty miraculous things over my lifetime of things that have happened God has done for me. I've had some. But there's one thing and the Lord said to me. He said, the reason that you've had so many things where you've had been miraculous, he said, you know, you just sort of do outlandish things. See, I get out where I'll do stuff people will think is dangerous because the doctor said you shouldn't. Or somebody says they don't do it that way, but I'm believing God. But I'm believing God. They say, no, don't do that. It'll hurt. But I'm not telling you to do it. I'm talking about operating out of your inner man. I'm convinced of this. More and more people could easily do this. He said, you do extreme stuff. That's what God did. You do extreme things. But he said, that is, and he explained to me that why it affected concerning things of faith and bringing things to pass. He said it is much like the working of miracles. When a person, the gift of the working of miracles goes into operation, somebody does something that causes something to happen. You need to understand this. Your actions will cause things to happen in your faith. If you use weak actions. See, when that guy said, Jesus, you just say the word, my servant's dying. Jesus, you say the word, he's going to live. Jesus said, he's going to live. Okay, going home. Now, his disciples would have never done nothing like that. I mean, even preachers today criticized Peter for sinking after he got out and walked on the water. Dear Lord, none preachers would have never got out of the boat. 99% of preachers would never crawl out of a boat. They'd have never done what Peter did. Man, it's exciting. Peter got to walk on water. I'd ask them, when's the last time you did? You see, Peter did an extreme thing. But you know, he lost it on the way out and you know, he started to sink. He had an extreme thing going. He should have kept the extreme going. Folks, this is good preaching. Amen. This is good preaching. Because I tell you what, I want you to have miracles. I am tired of the flaky, tired church today. I remember when the church was different. I remember the Church of Jesus Christ was a different people. And they've let the world in, they've let the world get in the church and becoming like America is. We throw rocks at Biden because he does bad things just because I think good and I think things are wrong. How am I living? What am I doing? Am I really living like Jesus is Lord? Hallelujah. Am I living like He's Lord? Faith is because problems come. You're going to need it. Faith is trouble comes knocking on your door. I don't mean you're weird or you did something wrong. You might have done everything right this week and the devil will come and knock on your door. And you'll say, well, I must have missed it. So you'll go to that thing. Don't go there. See, no devil. Hallelujah. You can come and knock on my door all you want. You can sit on my front porch. I don't care. You ain't getting in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do what you want.
Amen.
Don't worry. He don't stay around. If you don't entertain him, the reason the devil stays around so much with people, they give him too much entertainment. Don't give him entertainment. Don't entertain him. When he comes, don't spend so much time worrying about what's going wrong. Set yourself on what's going right. See, too many times we haven't done a thing wrong, but because something comes knocking, we start looking, well, did I do something? No, you're living this world. Jesus said, in this world is tribulation, that's trouble. He said, I've overcome it. See, this is what faith does, living like it's overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The trouble comes, glory to God. Hey, I've overcome this one. It might not look it at all. Hallelujah, but I'm an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
That's what I've overcome. Jesus overcame it for me. I'm going to live like He did it. Hallelujah. See, believe you receive it. Now, get that in there. At the time that you pray, you believe you receive. When I prayed with Mike in the hospital, and we prayed together as a church in agreement, I believed we received it.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to understand this. You can't turn that. If you turn that and go back and act like you didn't get it and try to receive it again, you're going to say, it didn't work the first time. This thing didn't work. We prayed and it didn't work. It didn't work. Well, my words, what's going on? It didn't work. Now, I've listened to the testimony of other ministers and stuff dealing with this subject. And they bear witness of things that happen over time, because when people begin to change course, this is one of the worst things that I've seen over the years, is because what happens, things change course. See, natural things come along. I remember we first started our church years ago. This happened. There was a lady who was in our church, and she had liver cancer. And man, she was doing really great. She kept herself, she didn't lose her joy at all. She kept herself, and she kept improving. And she'd go back to the doctor, and they do these blood tests on, and find that, you know, she was doing better and better and better. She was going along really good. And she was improving and improving and improving. Now, I'm giving you this because for yourself in dealing with things is where you make big mistakes and why things don't turn out. I was standing up front on a Sunday morning. We were getting ready, just about time to start. I was standing up front, and I remember looking to the back of the entrance to the building we were in then. She came in the back, and she walked in the back. And when she came through the door, the Lord spoke to me just as I was standing there in the pulpit. The Lord spoke to me clear, said, she got a bad report, and he said, now she's going to die. She's listened to that report, and he said, she's going to die now. She's not going to walk with faith. And I'm standing there, man. I'm thinking, over. Well, see, what happened is this. See, she was going all the time to the doctor, and the doctor said, do it better, do it better. And this is a really weird thing. She goes 1 week. She gets a report. It wasn't a terrible thing. Just her blood showed a little bit more off. No big thing. But see, what happened? She started off by faith and ended up, her faith was in the doctor's report. And so when the doctor said, it went south, she jumped right on board. And you know what? God was right. I tried to get her to turn. It was a waste of my time. When that happened, she just quit. She quit. Well, I thought I was healed. I thought, you know, that'd be no different than me. You know, just because I stood for healing one time in my life, I don't mean I'm going to never have to stand for healing again. I don't mean nothing ain't going to ever knock on my door. Why people would think you're staying and believing and just, you continue. The Bible talks about continuing in faith. Continue in faith. Continue in faith. You see, one thing as I learned, see, I keep healing in the forefront of my life all the time. See, I talk healing when I'm not even sick. I talk healing. I thank God. When I pray over my food, I thank God. He blesses my bread and water, and He takes sickness away from me. And, you know, but I talk about healing. I've learned over time. Hallelujah. I just thank God that I'm healed. Hallelujah. That don't mean nothing ever knocks on my door. But you know what? I keep it in the forefront. I don't keep the doctor in the forefront. His number ain't in my phone and the thing, you know, you can quick get to it. Just in case. If you got a just in case, you'll use it. Okay. I won't go meddling anymore. Well, what if something happens? You know, I'm just going to tell you things about fear, why this stuff works and why praying and things don't work. These things, cell phones. People are afraid to go anywhere without them. What if I can't contact anybody? Don't worry. You'll need to contact someone. You're believing for it. That's where your faith is. Your faith is in something's going to happen and I'm going to need it. And I say, praise God. You just prophesied. You're going to need it. You can't do anything but fear. We don't do things by fear. You know, even a doctor has you on medication, you don't take it by fear. Well, oh my God, I got to take this. You don't take step by fear. The Bible says whatever we do by faith. You don't ever do anything but fear. Fear is a destroyer. Fear is destructive. It's like I've told you folks have heard me. Nobody has ever made a good decision in fear. That's why down in Washington, they never make any good decisions. I don't care what party they are, because they're always worried about something going on. They're always meddling and fighting about things, and they never make any good decisions. Oh, they tell you the wonderful decisions they're going to make, but I'd like to see them. With God, I can believe without seeing, but with Washington, I only believe when I see it. That's why I got to trust God about Washington. You can't look at them. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching too. You can have that's free. Hallelujah. But see, believe you receive. Once you believe you receive something, don't move away from this. Now, this is a good thing that I want to tell you because over the years I've ministered to people at times who went to the hospital. They're going in to go into an operation. They're going to have something done. And I always tell them this. When you have that operation, don't you, because going in, I'll talk to them and I'll say, well, we're going to agree on. We're going to agree on something. And we agree on it. And I said, now this is what we're agreeing on. We're not agreeing on what the doctor says. Amen. We're agreeing what we believe about the Word of God. Amen. And I tell them, when the operation's over, you cannot be moved by anything the doctor says. Amen. Whether good or bad. That should not move you. You should be going into that operation. This is good. This is going to work. If you have to wait to hear and then you hear that and that becomes a great thing, well, this I know. You ain't faith. I knew it before I went in. See, Wanda turning out all right. We knew it was going to turn out right. We believe God is going to turn out all right. I didn't need no doctor telling me it was going to be okay. We don't need that. If we need those things, then we got a problem and we need to deal with ourselves. Now this is for every one of us deal with these things. Everybody does. I learned my life dealing with these things. You know, there's a lot of things I learned the hard way. You don't have to if you listen to me. Or you can just be bullheaded and just go do it your way anyhow and then ask me to pray after you failed. Good preaching. People do that. Amen. People go along and they don't listen. Listen. Sit yourself to listen. Because this is one thing. Is I learned so many things from Dr. Kenneth Hagin that I bypassed a lot of things in life that he went through that I didn't go through because listening to him of what to do. Listen what to do. You see, you get right. Once you believe or receive something, just stand on that. Get on that thing. Amen. Don't be moved. Because I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have people say stuff. You know, I've talked to folks about had a blood clot in my lung and the doctor said to me, well, you're still alive. And I smiled at him and said, sure enough. So he said, you're still alive. Yeah, well, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It was a good thing to be alive. But you know, it's one of the things you can't be, you know, and I mean, it was a very painful thing when it started off. But you know, and God got in the middle of it and they couldn't figure out what happened. They thought I should still be having real problems when I wasn't. Hallelujah. But you know, but the doctors were more positive, but they said, we want to keep you over tomorrow because we want to monitor you. And I said, okay, you know, I'll let them, you know, they want to play. They want to figure out what's going on. They might learn something. You never know. So anyhow, I did when the doctors, you know, they'd come in, there was like three or four doctors that they had. They'd come in and they'd check me, you know, and I just say, I think they were sending other guys in and say, maybe we're missing something about him. This, he shouldn't be. Anyhow, they finally, but I had this nurse and she was Miss Negative. Oh, now you got to be really careful. You got to watch yourself. You got to, you know, she was one of those. Oh my God. And I just smile at her and say, yeah. Okay. See, I'm just so glad I don't live with you. I don't have to hear that all the time. Oh, my. I'm glad you're changing shifts. You'll be leaving soon. Hallelujah. But see, sometimes you get in that and you'll just get a lot of negative stuff. And understand this, you go to the doctors and things, they're telling you what they know. Now, if they'll ask me my opinion, I'll tell them what I know. But they tell you what, if you don't want to hear what the doctor's saying, I don't want a bad report, well then stay home. Don't get upset at the doctor. You're the one that went. You're the problem if you get upset about it. You're the problem. He didn't show up at your house. Folks, this is all good preaching. Teach you how to act. You know the old saying, actions speak louder than words? Well, James wrote about faith and your works, your actions of your faith. The actions of your faith. Faith that doesn't have action to it is dead. Talk is cheap. But I'm going to tell you what, right actions is like setting the dynamite off. Your faith may light the fuse, but I'm going to tell you what, your actions can make it explode.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I've learned that. I've learned that over the years. My actions. That's why when I had a heart attack, I did just something as stupid as everybody said you did. I'm going to get up and go for a run. Oh, that was exciting. I'm going to tell you. You don't go to the doctor and ask him if it's all right. When you do that, you don't even ask your wife. But there's one thing, though, is I want to say something to my wife. My wife has learned to cooperate with how I walk with faith, and I just thoroughly appreciate that. Because I'm going to tell you, there's so much controversy between Christians and men and husband and wife concerning their faith and trying to walk. And one of them does something, and you know, you shouldn't have done that, you know. And that's, you know, you ought to listen to the doctor. Say, I was listening to Jesus. Which would be better, you and the doctor or Jesus?
Amen.
You see, I don't meddle in people what they feel they need to do with their faith. Most people do. They meddle, cause problems. Someday you just got to do what you got to do. And I'm one of them as big an action. If I believe I have something, I'm going to act like I got it. I don't care how bad I feel. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to act like I got it. Hey, I got my, if I have it, how could I die if I really believed I had it? See, when I believed I had my healing, I had no signs I had it. I'm going for a run. A voice kept speaking to me, you're going to die. You're going to die. They're going to find you along the road dead. What are the people in your church going to say when you're found along the road dead? Now, I had the devil say that, but I've had people talk to me in the same manner. So, I've had ministers tell me I'm too extreme. And I thank them for it. Glory to God. You ain't seen nothing yet. What they're telling me, you'll have a little bit of unbelief like I do, you know. That's called balance. That's balanced faith. You mix a little unbelief and a little faith, and you know what you got? Dirty water will kill you. That's what you get. We ain't in that business, are we, folks? We're not in that business. Hallelujah. I don't, you know, this message is just coming out. It's coming out of my belly. It's coming out of the inside. It's a river flowing out. Hallelujah. Well, see, I want you to get this fact. When you believe you got it, you have it. It's not you're going to get opposition. The devil will talk to you. You know, he might even send people to talk to you. Sometimes he does. That's the way it is. But I learned not to be bothered by it at all. You can't. You just can't do it. And don't get in fights with people. You got to walk in love. You know, I just feel sorry for them because I know things ain't going to work for them because they don't know how to make it work. What they should sit down and listen. So, you know, I've told them already, hide and watch. Hide and watch. You're going to see something. Something's going to happen. See, you hide and watch. God is good to His Word. Now, I want you to think about this and do it. When you pray, take the time to be conscious, to listen to what you ask God to do. Many people ask God for something, but they're looking for something else. All the time people do that. What I ask God for, that's what He's going to do. You ask God for the wrong thing, you might end up with the wrong thing, because He'll give you what you ask. You say, ask and you believe. If you ask, that's why I say, don't jump the gun and just write, we're just going to jump and pray. We're just going to, no, stop. What do I really need? See, the Lord had reminded me in one time, I was dealing with a thing standing in faith, and nothing's moving. And I know about standing in faith, what you're supposed to do, but I'm over here standing in a direction and praying. And the Lord said this to me, and you've heard me talk about it. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. And I thought, boy, that was really nice. That was edifying. But it was, now, hey, this is correction. It's good. If you don't like correction, you and Jesus ain't going to get along much. You won't want to hear Him talk because you ain't that bright and He is. We're children compared to Him. And He needs to be able to talk to me you know, and straighten me out sometimes, you know. You can find this out about maturity. If you're still touchy, you ain't mature. That was a good one, wasn't it? Hallelujah. That just came up out. That one just came. I thought, boy, that's good. I like that. I know. I've been there when I used it. I remember the years are real touchy. It used to bother me when God would correct me. You know, I'd sulk for a week or so after that. And now it's like, Lord, do I need corrected? Because now, why? It's always for your good. God corrects you so you can have what you desire. Always remember that. He will never correct you. It's not about slapping you over the head just doing so because he's tired of you. He corrects so you can have, so you will be blessed. It is always his desire to bless you. Always. Always. You know, when you're living in sin, he still wants to bless you. If you get out into sin and get away from him, he never changes his mind. He wants to bless you. You might have to get back in line to have it, but he has never changed his idea about that. His whole idea is, I want to bless them. What can I do to bless them? It's amazed me. Sometimes, Lord, in my life, I stop and I thought, God, when I look back and things you did for me, it wasn't at all about my faith or how wonderful. You were just downright good in spite of me. Just downright good. He would do anything to try to bless, to bring blessing. If you can't see him this way, your faith will never go too far. We're not trying to get God to do a thing about Mike's. We ain't trying to get God to do anything. How could you believe you receive it if he ain't doing anything? It's an impossibility. You couldn't believe you receive it. He ain't working on it. Well, then you didn't get it. I mean, that's just dumb. You know, see, there's so much stuff out here in people's minds and thinking. There's religious barriers that must be torn down. God's always good. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. If God wanted to give you the hard time, all he had to do was keep the law out there. Say, well, we're going to have the grace thing. You're going to have to live by the law. Good luck. You're going to do as well as Israel did. You're going to fail. He gave you grace to put you over. He wanted you put over. He wants his whole idea. He wanted man to have success. And he gave all the means and everything there is for us to have success. We believe we receive. And how can you get, and you will have them. It didn't say you might, you could. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. This is Jesus talking. Amen. I'm tired of listening to people talking. There's, I mean, tell you, you know, you could go on the radio and TV and there's loads of talkers. But there's half of them shouldn't be saying a thing. These people, God is really good, but he made you sick for a reason. God, you know, he's having you in all this trouble because of this or that. And they go on and on and on. This great good God. And he's really good. Your life don't get miserable enough at times and he got to come and make it more miserable. The devil's not bad enough. We got to get God in it. Believe you receive them. And you'll have them. I mean, get that thought. When you sit down, I mean, just that scripture alone. I mean, I can stand through a lot of stuff. See, if I know what God has said, see, and find out what God has said on the subject. See, I know it's agreement. Two agree. Now, I mean, these are absolutely incredible statements that are outside natural reality. If two agree is by touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Is that a true statement? Yes, sir. See, I want you to understand that. See, we can all agree it's true, but I want to tell you this. Our faith's on a different level, a different level's on believing it. See, I can believe it. Believing something is true is not faith. You can believe something. I have witnessed to people already who believed Jesus was Lord but didn't want to receive him. Were they going to heaven? I know this. Many people say, well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm saved. No, you know, if you haven't received him, you haven't. You can believe anything you want. As many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. You see, we receive Him. See, a person can believe something's true, but they never act on it. They never act on it by faith. It produces nothing. James said it don't produce anything. Faith without corresponding action. Well, my corresponding action to be born again is to receive Jesus Christ. That's my corresponding reaction. I've got to tell me, I like my life the way it is, and I don't want any change in it. He said, yeah, I believe I need to receive Jesus. I believe that. I had people tell me, well, he believes, he's a Christian, he believes. I said, well, I wondered if they were. Yeah, I do. I wonder a lot of people whether they're, because they don't even know how you get saved. They talk about being Christians, don't even know how to do it. Hallelujah. I know I passed from death unto life. See, I like 1 John. 1 John wrote and said, read through 1 John. He talks about knowing. You know, I went one day by faith to Jesus, but I'm not trying to believe on Jesus by faith today. I know I passed from death unto life. See, I got the answer. If I believe for healing and it shows up, I'm completely well. I no longer have to believe for healing. I know it because it's manifest. I know it. I know I have it. See, like there's these chairs here. I don't have to believe these chairs are here. I know they're here. I can see them. I don't have to believe that. Once something shows up, you don't have to. Faith is when you can't see it. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I know I passed from death unto life. I know I passed from death unto life because I love the brother. My God, you know what? When I was a sinner, to be able to love the other Christians around would have been a hard thing to do. It would have been an impossibility. But I can love the brethren. I can love people that are just downright unlovely. And I ain't hating them. And I said, well, I know something had to happen to Ed. Because he wasn't like that. They were all like, let's throw him under the bus. Right, as often as we can. That's right. We got to get rid of them, you know. Hallelujah. But I want you to get it within yourself. I just encourage you to sit down and meditate on that scripture until it becomes real to you in your own personal prayer life concerning yourself. Now you need to understand, we're praying concerning Mike. Mike has to be involved. See, I'm talking about what we were believed. See, we can't just override other people. We can't just override them. Most wonderful thing, though, I want to tell you about Mark 11:24. In your own personal life, you can use that prayer and get anything you want. Amen. Jesus said so. Think about the fact. He said, really, you can cause a lot of miraculous things to happen by getting into agreement with another person. Amen. But I want you to understand this, too. You know, people have this idea that you got to get a ton of people together. If you got 1,000 people to pray, well, number one, I just want to let you this. You will never get 1,000 people to get into agreement. I've lived in this earth long enough. You're lucky in most churches if you can get 10. I'm serious. See, people, and I'm not knocking them because people are at different levels. People will say, you need to know when you talk about this agreement. See, I've learned to listening to other ministers talking about who have ministered years ago and have ministered more years than I have. And I listen to them talking about how they would get people would come and ask them to agree with something. And the thing would kind of pass and the person would say, well, I didn't really think it was going to happen. Well, he said, I did. You came and asked. See, many people ain't even sincere the person that asked. They think cause they want something, let's see if we can get it. There's no faith in that. Prayer is wasting your time. You'd be better spitting than you would. In fact, go down to the bar and have a drink. It'll do better for you. At least it might calm your nerves a little bit. Because to pray without faith, it doesn't amount to anything. It's just blowing wind. It is just blowing wind. I see, people don't understand it. They need to know. Faith is a powerful thing. It is amazing. It is amazing. Like you might sit and say, well, I don't have enough faith. I'll start talking. Number one, you're your major problem. You just said you can't have faith. And you know, God gave you a measure of faith. The Bible says so. So I know I have enough faith to get born again so I can do some things. You don't ever speak and complain. I never criticize my faith. You don't ever do that. All you do, you're just helping the devil to make sure you don't get nothing. You don't talk about your faith. I have faith. Well, I just don't have faith. Well, why don't you get saved? And you get some. See, we have faith. Just may not be as developed as much we want in certain areas. If we went across here, every one of us, we have certain areas we have very strong faith in. There's other areas we don't have as strong faith in. We haven't developed as much in areas. I'm the same way. I was always thankful that one of the things that the Lord really helped me a lot in the areas of developing my faith had to do with my family and working with my family. When I first got saved, God dealt with me in that area. And getting a hold of that thing concerning my family. And, we didn't go through some of the troubles in life that I see people go through sometimes, family stuff and things they don't, because knowing how to deal with things early, knowing how to do stuff and listen to God. And I've often thought about, most people, they get born again, especially among the charismatics, today there's a lot of them into money right away. That ain't the thing to just jump right into and get, I'll tell you, this is a true statement. If your spirituality doesn't grow at the rate of the money you get, you'll always follow the money. The love of money. The devil may try to give you money to get you away from God. Amen. See, you get a lot of money, you can buy a lot of sin. And you can buy a lot of places and stay on the road in the summer and travel and everything and stay away from God. And don't go to church and don't get around and say, well, I can listen on TV. I can download online. I can do that. See, I can go out here and do all this stuff and act like I'm listening. I'm going to tell you what. Walking around and doing stuff and listening to things will never be what you do when you come and sit down and can't do anything else. See, I've told people this over the years concerning healing. I've tried to get people to do this. I've done people's funerals because they wouldn't listen. I said, they have a health problem. You need to go somewhere where you sit down and wait. You need to leave home. You need to go somewhere where you can't get near home for a week or so and listen to teaching on healing. Go someplace where they have a healing school and sit your rear end down and just listen and listen and listen. And if you ain't gonna, people say, that's inconvenient. Well, I'll plan your funeral. I've had to do that. I told them. I said, you need to go. You're in a place. You need to go. I just don't have time to do that. And I said, you have time to die. Now, if a doctor had told them to go, I will guarantee if the doctor had told them to go to the hospital a week, they would have went. Inconvenient? No, he's a doctor. Why? Holy art thou, old doctor. Look, I'm not against doctors. Thank God. There's a lot of Christians that are alive because of them. Good preaching! I'm not against them. Thank God. Hey, there's wonderful doctors. Very helpful people. But if you've noticed, has America got more well the more doctors we have? Why? The devil don't take medication. And he's just working on people and he's just sickness. Sin brings death. You live like hell, don't be surprised. The wages of sin is death. See, you can't, medication can't take away from what sin brings. So see, these are good things. I should have had notes on it. That would have been good. But these things are, I'm telling you, just think about these things. Look at your situation. What do you want changing? Let me ask you this question. We're going to pray about Mike. We haven't forgotten about Mike. We're going to pray. We're going to pray, not necessarily pray. We're going to pray, praise and thank God that the good work that he started, he's bringing it to completion. Hallelujah. God has responded to us. He didn't go deaf. You know, in the book of Revelation talks something about prayer. You need to understand this about prayer, praying in faith, the power of it. In the book of Revelation talks about the altar of God. There's vows with the prayers of the saints. Faith is an eternal thing. It never stops. And you know what happens, it says? All these things are going off in judgment. And it said the prayers of the saints were poured out into the earth. Those prayers were active. Bringing things to pass when the saints are gone off the earth. And their prayers they prayed when they were here are being poured out down into the earth. Did you ever think about that or everything? I've never heard it preached. I don't know. I don't think they preach good enough sermons today. I don't think people see enough neat things in the Word. Like to me, I don't know why. First time I ever read that, I thought, wow, that's something. I'm praying and God's bottling it. Woo! Now look, He ain't bottling the unbelief. Forget it. The devil has all that on his mantle. Hallelujah. You don't get to pour it out though. But it said they're poured out into the earth. Think about that. People, let me just say that. I'll tell you how with these things at work. Had God respond to me about this years ago when I first started off as a Christian here in the city of Lebanon, the Lord would send me out to go pray over the city. And I'd walk the streets of Lebanon and I'd pray over the streets of Lebanon. Had some marvelous experiences with God doing that. I'd get out there and praying and God would show me stuff and all kind of cool things were happening. But one day, and I could just tell you, I was down walking down Walnut Street praying, heading east, and I got down near First Avenue there, Lincoln Avenue, and I got right down there. It's almost like I just did this yesterday. And I can remember walking down there and stopped and the Lord spoke to me and He said, there's a great revival coming to this valley. He said, before I return, a great revival is coming this valley. But He said, it isn't going to be because of the people of this valley. He said, there's people who went on before, who stood before me. And He said, I'm going to bring that revival because they asked me. Can you imagine? They left this earth and their prayers are still active. That's why you don't change. This is why we've had so much. It's always changed to every little event that comes along and we change. No, set in motion. You know, it'd be two and three years. Yeah, it would have been back. I had, during that time, those 2 year period, I was doing a lot of praying about the move of God, this valley. And I was taking prophecies by reputable people. I don't pay attention to everybody that prophesies, you know. Because there's a lot of people blowing wind and saying things that they don't ever come to pass. But there's prophecy concerning the end times. And I took those prophecies. And I took those things that God bore witness in my heart about. Not just because they sound nice. You know, people like to hear a good prophecy. Well, go read Jeremiah. All the good prophecies were wrong. All these guys saying, oh, it's all going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Jeremiah said, no, it ain't. You keep doing what you're doing, it ain't going to be all right. He wasn't Mr. Popular. That's like today. Today, everybody wants to tell me everything is going to turn out right. I'll just tell you this. I know for sure, with no doubt, it's not going to turn out all right. Everything ain't turning out all right. There's going to be wonderful things we're going to experience. But many, it ain't going to turn out all right. Payday's coming. Do you get a check or no check? If you didn't go to work for Jesus, you don't get checks from Him. Had a guy years ago ask me one time about why God didn't do this other thing. He said, why God don't bless me at this and that and the other thing. And I just turned around and said to him, and he's working the same place I was at the time at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And I turned around and said to him, do you get a check from General Motors? And he said, well, no. Well, I said, that's right. You don't work for God and you ain't getting a check either. See, those things sound hard. Folks, wake up to it. These are just simple truths of things. We're rewarded to what we spend our time to do. Now, if you have an area of your life and you want it fixed, you got to spend time in that area to fix it. You got to learn what God does, what He works in that area, till you can bring your faith to the place to change that. Just keep praying about it. You're wasting your time. It ain't going to happen till you can believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. I don't care how many million times you pray it. If it ain't in your heart to believe it, it don't matter. It's just wind blowing. Every one of us have blown wind already. We've all had a wind blowing. If you're touchy about that, well, forget life. I mean, that's your life. We've all done things. We have prayed and said things. And, you know, I really didn't have that in me. And one of the things people tell people to confess stuff for is confession. Most of the time this, the confession's for us. It's not God. We're trying to get ourselves to believe it. Do you know what? When you believe something, you never have to say it 10 times, 11 times, 12 times. One time will bring it to pass. Jesus said, if you say this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, doubt not in your heart, but believe that what you say is coming to pass. You're going to have what you say. Do you notice Jesus never said you're going to have what you believe? He said you're going to have what you say. Your believing, your saying runs together, but you're going to have your saying in line with what's in your heart. So what did it get the right thing in your heart? And I'll tell you what, once you know in your heart it's so, and I've said it, that's it. See, when I prayed with Mike and when I prayed here, that's it. It's settled. We ain't doing it 10 times. We ain't doing it. I got it in here. I put it on my lips. Jesus never lies. And if he does, if I get to heaven, if he really exists, if he's a liar, I'd sure tell him about it. Say, no, Jesus, you lied. I was believing you and it didn't work. I confessed it and you didn't do it. Well, I know that'll never happen. Amen. I get to heaven and say, thank you, Lord God, in spite of me, you did wonderful. Oh my God, you did great. And I want to thank you for all those prayers. In spite of me. You answered. You worked. Woohoo! See, never make God a liar. Why? Because you destroy your own faith. Don't blame the devil. Don't blame other people. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. If I speak to God by faith, He will do it. There's nothing wrong with you that you have to develop your faith stronger in an area. We all do it. I have areas I'm very strong, and other areas I'm not as strong. And so I got to work. There's things I have to work on. And the Lord helped me in some areas of these things here over the last few years on some things of helping me in that area develop my faith stronger in certain areas. You want to come there. And one of the things is you don't want to be a person. You don't want to lose your joy. You lose your joy, faith's going to fly away like a little bird. You got to maintain your joy. See, we're under pressure in these days and times here and things happening. See, it's because when you lose joy, you just lose confidence. There's no such thing as faith without confidence. You can't. You have to be confident. You know, sometimes you run into things, or sometimes I tell you, in my faith and in my heart, I know I got to hold up with God. My flesh wants to cry. my flesh wants. You ain't ever been there? If you ain't ever been there, you ain't ever lived. You don't know. my flesh is saying, I mean, my flesh can get pretty loud talking to me when I do some things like, you're crazy. What if my own flesh will say, and I can hear it saying, don't you realize I'm hurting and you're going to do this? What do you think you're doing? I'm in pain. Flesh can get loud. Amen. The flesh speaks loud and operates, but I'll tell you what, you can learn this to develop your faith in areas where your flesh. See, when I first started off in the areas of finances, my flesh used to really give me a hard time about giving money. You know, I was, wow, yeah, my flesh is giving this away. What if nothing comes? What are you going to have lunch next week? I mean, Juan and I started off, it was like that. You're going to have lunch next week. You know, you do that kind of stuff. But you know what I found this over time? My flesh don't give me a hard time at all anymore. You know what? My flesh learned this thing works. My flesh. See, you got to teach your flesh. My flesh used to give me a terrible time about things I would do with healing. It doesn't like it did before anymore. But let me tell you, it was awfully loud for a lot of years. Yelling at me. But after a while, it learned. Well, one thing it learned is let him alone. He ain't going to listen to you anyhow. If you pamper your flesh, it'll always be calling for it. See, we live in a society of comfort, and people always want comfort. Keep that flesh happy. I don't want my flesh to be uncomfortable. And now loads of people's flesh is uncomfortable. I don't know what to do about it. A lot of Christians' flesh is uncomfortable, the things that are going on in our society, because, see, they build a life of not walking by faith, but walking by comfort. Hallelujah. Walk by faith. Not by sight. Hallelujah. And be comforted by the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! The great comforter of God inside of you. Hallelujah. I've never been in a time of trouble that God hasn't spoke to me. Never. It's never happened. If I'm in any kind of danger or anything, something like that, it always comes up inside of me. Always comes up inside of me. It's there. Why? He ain't no different with that than he is anybody else. See, you learn, don't let the flesh dominate. People get into a uncomfortable situation, the first thing they start doing is yielding the flesh. And the flesh gets louder and louder. And it drowns out what's on the inside, where the answer is. Your comforter. Man, when you're under pressure, that's when you need comfort. You don't need whacked over the head. And you know what? I have never had it that he didn't bring comfort to me. Never had it, he didn't tell me what to do. Always does. I learned to listen on the inside. I know years I went through things, I bypassed those things, and then things didn't work out, and I thought, you know, he was trying to get a hold of me. But I was noisy. I let my flesh rule. I let my flesh get noisy. It wasn't happy, so it got noisy. Hallelujah. This is good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. I know it's good. But this is just good practical things to get in yourself to remember. Hallelujah. Keep yourself your focus on Jesus. I've always followed what Colossians says. In the fourth chapter, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When trouble comes, set your mind on things above. That's the time. When trouble comes, quit looking at the trouble. The trouble don't have the answer. Set your mind on things above. What should I do? I'll tell you. I've had already where the doctor will give you wisdom. Even if you need to go to a doctor, will give you the wisdom of where to go. Some people go the wrong place. Listen to God. He wants to take care of you. He's interested in you. He wants you to make it. He's interested. Listen, he's got wisdom. You know, the word says this, that God knows what you need before you ask. But it don't tell you you're going to get an answer just because he knows. And it never leaves you any idea that'll ever happen. It don't matter what God knows about you. You get from him what you ask. Now, there is an interesting thing that I got a revelation out of that. If he knows what I need before I ask, it may be smart at times for me to ask him what I really need, because I learn over time I ask for things that didn't really fix it. Or he would have never come along and told me I was like a doctor that only treats symptoms. Sometimes we really don't need. You know what the thing, let me say, this will be helpful for you in any area of your life. You need to learn to know you. Most people don't know themselves. The average person, now listen to this, the New Testament says this, know no man after the flesh. That's you too. Most people only know themselves after the flesh. Know what you really are inside. Know where you can stand in faith. Know what you can be. See, I've learned to know more about me on the inside than the outside. I know where I can stand and where I can't. I know what I can believe or I can't. I know. See, I never go through this thing anymore. Well, I'm trying to believe. Or I know if I am or not. I know, only learn to, don't know yourself after the flesh. Your success and your answers to prayer are not based on your flesh and knowing you're the outer man. I'll tell you what the outer man is. He's a whiner, always wants his way. He always wants to do what he wants to do. He's always, that's that guy. And the inside's the nature of God. On the inside, you're like God. You're his child. On the inside, you're not interested in just getting your way. On the inside, the love of God is shed abroad your heart by the Holy Ghost. On the inside, you want to walk in love. On the inside, that's what's going on. But everybody's tied to the outside. So they go to counselors and get counseled about what's going on the outside. Because why? I want to spend my time learning about my outside. I'm going to tell you the outside's a dead man. He's stupid. He's dead in sin. Don't surprise me. He don't want to do right. On the inside, I got the nature of God. That's why I have conscience. That's why when I don't do right, it bugs me. Because why? Because I'm right on the inside. Is that right? We're right on the inside. You're right on the inside. That's why when you sin, you got conscience. That's the voice of your spirit saying, hey, knucklehead, stop it. Believe me. That's the way my spirit talks to me. On the inside. See, the inner man wants to follow God, and he'll tell you when something's wrong. You going along. Many times people, I've learned to follow this. If something I just sense is not right, I stop. I don't go any further with it. I don't care if every other Christian in the world's doing it. Paul said he never defied his conscience. He always obeyed his conscience. If your conscience tells you to stop, you better stop. If you go pesh, you sinned. You always obey your conscience. I don't care what other people say about it. You can only walk where you can walk. You know, maybe I can walk in something and you can't. That's you. You need to follow what you got in you. See, we're about to make these paper cutout Christians, you know, these little, all of them, you know, poor, everybody's the same. Well, that's the psychology in the church. That's psychology in the church because everybody ain't the same. We're different parts and we're different. You may not want it all to be like I am. You know, I'm not the guy that's how to make friends and influence people do. Some people are. I'm not. That was one of the things that I didn't want to pastor until God finally rebuked me and told me that if you don't start the church, he said, I said to him, Lord, about this thing in the church, he wanted me to be a pastor, and I went on and didn't do it because I said, Lord, I can't see myself as a pastor. He said, I don't care. I said, you know, when I went to Bible school, they gave us these books on pastoring, and I had this one book on pastoring, and I said, I read it, and I said, I ain't nothing like that guy. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, yeah. He said, I used that guy that way. And he said, he wrote a book and telling everybody else they're supposed to do what he did. He said, why don't you throw that book away? That's what he said to me. No, I see this all the time. I don't care what type, whether apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You can't put that thing in a cookie cutter. This is their ministry. Because it's not. You'll find different ones and operate completely different. Sometimes they see so different, you wonder if it's the same ministry, but it is. Because God ministers through them, through that gift in different ways. That's what we studied about 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapters, all these different ones, but they manifest in different ways through different people. Just like the prophet's ministry. There's different levels of prophet's ministry. And the average guy who is called by a prophet many times steps outside of his calling. He tries to be, you know, Jeremiah or somebody. And that ain't the level he's even called to. You gotta learn the level that you're called to and stay within it. Stay within the level that you're called. It works good. Learn that about yourself. You don't have to be the cookie cutter out that everybody else is. You know, I've learned this over when I first started Christianity. Evangelists act like everybody ought to be winning Jesus, people to Jesus just like he does, you know, by the thousands at a meeting and he preaches and they ought to do that. And it ain't going to happen. They do that and people get all messed up. I don't expect. It's number one. I teach by inspiration. My teaching method is more prophetic from the same prophetic anointing than it is. And really, than it is from a pastoral anointing. But boy, people sure want me to get over more on the pastor side there and sweet talk everybody. Hey, God never even called the pastors to sweet talk everybody. But they found out it's hard on Americans' flesh. If they don't, they won't stay in the church. You got to keep talking sweet to them so you can get their checks. Okay, well, hallelujah. Now we're going to talk about our dear brother Mike Lozer because we're going to pray a prayer of agreement. Well, I should say agreement. Let's agree on this fact. And I want you to think about it, because we're going to agreement. We need to talk about the agreement before. See, people go to praying to agree. Say, we agree with me on this or agree with me on that. Well, you might pray. And most of people say, hey, would you agree with me? Now, understand this. When Jesus used the term agreement, he's talking about prayer. Many people say, I'm going to agree with somebody. Some guy says, hey, I'm believing God for a new car. And a guy says, will you agree with me? Yeah, yeah. Well, nobody asked for a new car. That wasn't a biblical agreement. Jesus said, for whatever you ask. He said, the two of you got to ask for something. They never did. Never ask. People do this stuff all the time. Oh, yeah, we're following the Word. You're following the Word? Well, see, is what we're going to ask. Now, we have already asked. What we're doing, we've asked God, and, you know, it's nothing wrong with it. We can go to God, remind Him. And this really is from the standpoint, we're reminding Him and reminding ourselves of where we stood. God, here's what, this is what we ask for, Lord. See, we're dealing with covenant. We're dealing with covenant. If God is not a keeper of the covenant, you don't have nothing to stand on about anything. Are you in the covenant? See, and this is the words we're reading, the words that Jesus said we looked at this morning, those are the covenant words. They're covenant words. Their words, you need to understand this, that God cannot break. See, now maybe you religiously listen to people over time and see people say, God can do anything He wants. No, He can't. If God breaks the covenant, He's worthy of death. By His own words. In the Old Testament, when they made covenants, in fact, do you remember Abraham's dream? Abraham had a dream. God gave him a dream. And in that dream, he saw an animal that was, you know, he saw like the lamb. They were, the sacrifices were split open. Now, he was in a dream. He wasn't in a thing. But he saw the Lord walk down past those things. Well, see, that came from in covenants in the Old Testament. When two people made a covenant, they would take a sacrifice and they would shed the blood. They would split it. One would stand on one side and one would stand on the other side and they would walk down past it. As they walked down past, they'd say, whoever breaks this covenant is worthy of this death. That's the covenant that God showed Abraham. God said He was worthy of death. If He breaks the covenant. When God made the covenant with Jesus Christ, it wasn't made between you and I and Him. Jesus walked down one side and the Father walked down the other side. They made the covenant. And they said, we're worthy of death if we don't keep this covenant. This covenant doesn't stand on you. It stands on God, who cannot lie. God is not worthy of death. He will never break the covenant. He will never pay any attention to those preachers that say God sometimes says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait. He don't pay no attention to them because that's a lie. That's not covenant. Jesus already said concerning prayer. He said concerning two agree as touching anything they ask. It shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. God declared it. He made the covenant. If that ain't good enough for a covenant for you, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to say. The Word is true. We made agreement, and that agreement stands. God is not deaf, and He is not. He don't have a mental problem. He doesn't have Alzheimer's or anything like that. He doesn't go to any. He doesn't have some kind of blood flow problem to his brain. He has none of those things. He heard. He remembers. He wants us to remember. He doesn't have a problem. He wants us to come before Him and bring covenant to Him. Not because He's deaf and He needs to hear it. He got to hear us. He's got to hear us. We've declared too much about what the doctor said. We've declared too much about this said. About what they're doing in Washington and this and that and the other thing and all this stuff. And waiting for a prophecy for a president and all that kind of nonsense. That turned out to all be wrong anyhow. Going through all those motions. When the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have a more sure word. You have a more sure word. You have a more sure word. You have a more, everyone, you have a more sure word. Hallelujah. Jesus Himself said that. We believe it's true. I tell you what, and I act on it, that it's true and it will work. God cannot lie. God can't lie. Men can lie. I can miss it. But it's impossible for my Father to miss it. It's impossible for Jesus to miss it. See, that's why we don't have faith in ourselves. If you'll believe me, see, he's asking us to believe him. He never told you to say about you believing you and whether you could work and believe, whether you could stand long enough or what. He never asked all those questions, did he? Did we find them on the scriptures? No. But boy, we wrote them in after it. We wrote down our own little scriptures on there. We added to it. Because why? It sounded too good to be true. It is so, well, how could that one statement really mean that? And it does. Hallelujah. Put a smile on your face. Put dancing in your feet. Woohoo! Glory to God. Our God's real and He's true. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. See, you're people of faith. You're a people, that's what you are. You're born again, you're a child of faith. Hallelujah. That's what you are. God Himself gave you a measure of faith. God Himself. Must be a pretty good one. I don't think God said, well, you know what, I'm going to give this guy over here, I'll give him, you know, a quarter dose, and this guy, I'll give him this. None. He didn't do that. Amen. He gave us all the measure of faith. I like the New King James says, the measure of faith. Hallelujah. He gave us all the same place to start. And we have faith and it worked. If you could believe in a God that you couldn't see, and you responded to Him just because of His words in the book, that's all we're doing today. Amen. We're just continuing our response. Amen. To the God in the book that we believe.
Hallelujah.
You can do that. You don't have to try to work something up. Hallelujah. We ask God concerning Mike, and we believe we received His total deliverance and healing. We believe we have that. I ain't changing. I don't see it any other way. And what we're going to do is go to God with this. I'm telling you what we're going to do, and this is just what we're agreeing that it's done. We're agreeing that when we agreed on that, that things are still a working. Hallelujah. That God has not changed His mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a miracle working God, and He does miracle. The good work, Paul wrote to the church and said, the good work that He started in you, He's going to bring it to completion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to do that today for Mike. Hallelujah. We agreed. And the scripture says where two agree is touching anything they ask. Well, we had more than two.
Amen.
But the whole thing, it only took two of us.
Amen.
That's all we had. And Jesus ended with the thing. He said, there am I in the midst. Now, how could Jesus get in the middle of the prayer and it didn't work? Jesus said, I get in the middle of that prayer. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Well, Jesus will get in the middle of our praise today because we're going to praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It ain't stopped working. It's still working. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, I am just so excited we can come to You. Father, we know in this life we all get bad reports at times. At the time things come. Lord God, when we're standing, we think things are working. And this is why we're just so excited and glad that we can come before You. Hallelujah. You're the God who remembers. You're the God who understands. You're the God who comprehends. We're not coming before some dead piece of wood. We aren't coming before some rock somewhere, Lord God. Father, we're coming right now to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're standing before the God of Heaven. We're right in Your presence, Lord God, by faith in the name of Jesus. We're come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. This is the place of power. This is the place of glory. And Father, we were here and we brought our brother to You. And Lord God, we hear voices of bad reports. They're saying there's giants in the land. They said, oh yeah, yeah, it's really good over there, but we can't take them. But Lord God, we don't care what those reports are. We've heard Your report and we've stood on Your report. Hallelujah. That You have already taken Mike's infirmities. You already bore his sicknesses. And I thank You, Lord God, for the miraculous power of God. We agreed that it was working in him. And we want to thank You, Lord God, today. We're not asking You to do it. You've already been working at it. You've already working. And we just say, thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You so much, Lord God. We have great confidence in You. Hallelujah. You're what You started. You're finishing it in the name of Jesus. You ain't changed. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not changing. We're going to be just like You. We're going to stand, hallelujah, what we've already stood for, hallelujah. And I thank You, Mike's having his full recovery just like we said in the beginning, hallelujah. It's a working for him, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. Father, I'm so glad we don't have to fear. I'm so glad we don't have to worry. I thank you. You're working mightily in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. My inner man's full of joy. Hallelujah. It's full of joy because I have a God. Hallelujah. I have a God. Hallelujah. Oh, and what a wonderful God He is. Hallelujah. Working mightily, working mightily, working mightily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You know, we're in a position here of faith. I just want, if anybody wants prayer for anything, we'll pray for you. Cause, you know, it was number one is, if this teaching didn't set us in agreement, there's a real problem. But if anybody needs any help or anything, hallelujah. It's a good time. It's one thing is I've learned this over the years. I don't care how great my anointing can be at times. And sometimes I've been sometimes had strong anointings. I've had anointings on me already. I couldn't even stand. It was so powerful. Somebody could hardly take it. But you know what? There's nothing more powerful than the corporate anointing. Nothing more powerful. When the church stands together, there ain't nothing like it. No single person's anointing is going to be like the church's anointing.
Amen. Glory.
When people... Okay. Hallelujah. Praise Him.
I just want you to pray for me about the wisdom of God that I can deal with Jenny and this whole
situation. Hallelujah. Okay. We're agreeing for wisdom. Darlene's sister had a stroke and is in the hospital, and they've been working with this, and they want wisdom on what they need to do, which is really good. Sometimes, you know, we're standing, especially other people, we pray for them. But it is really wise to get wisdom sometimes of what to do. Sometimes people, you can push in a direction, but you're really not getting wisdom about it of what to do. Get wisdom sometimes with dealing with individuals of how far you can go. Because sometimes you, maybe with a person allows you to do more or don't. But God can open doors to things that we don't see. You know, you and I, we might know things or see things that we do. But, you know, you don't know sometimes what's blocking a person unless God shows it to you. You know, I don't care how the anointing's on me. If God doesn't open it up to I see what a person or what's wrong, I don't know. I can't see everybody on the inside and what's working. A person can seem fine, but yet real messed up. You wouldn't know. So, that's why we need wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come stand with her mic here. We'll stand together. Hey, we're going to agree. They're going to have wisdom. God's bringing wisdom in the name of Jesus to them, hallelujah, to be able, see, this is a crisis in life and needs God's wisdom. And James said, if we lack it, just ask. God gives it liberally. So in other words, they'll get a lot of it if they want it, hallelujah. In other words, they can have as much wisdom as they'd like. God's not holding back. He will give it to them. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we're asking just simply according to your word in agreement, hallelujah, for wisdom. They're asking wisdom and dealing with Darlene's sister. And I want to thank you, Father God, you're in the middle of this situation. You haven't changed. She's your child. She belongs to you. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that Mike and Darlene just want to know where to walk and what to do, and you're going to show them. Hallelujah. It's opening up to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, they'll have wise counsel and wisdom on what to do, say, and pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have the wisdom. Believe you receive it. You got it. You have it. You're not looking for it. You got it. Understand this about wisdom of God. You ask God for wisdom. So I've learned this over the years. Sometimes it doesn't seem. It's a time I think, I still don't know what to do. But as soon as I go to deal with what I have to deal with, the wisdom comes.
Amen.
Many times, see, that's where the walk of faith is. Many times we want to know everything in advance. And I found this out. God don't always tell me anything in advance. Now, let me just say this. I've had this teaching series that I'm doing. Now, I was over there doing this thing. The Lord's been talking to me, you know, yesterday, last night. I said, putting things down in notes and things. You think He didn't know today I was going to come and deduct you I was going to minister? He never said a thing to me about it. Never said a thing. He didn't say a thing to me. Then I come up here. See, that's why I like worship service. It's like when you're worshiping God, because when you're worshiping God, everybody gets away and should get away from their own flesh and thinking about themselves. Set your mind. And I sent up here and the Lord said, no, no. He said, I have a message for you. this morning. I want you to do. See, I was just going to get up and talk to you quickly about it. We're going to just sort of do a little prayer and praise for Mike and things. I said, no. The Lord said, no. I have things I want to say about this. I said, okay. We go that way. See, but that's where you walk by faith. Now, I didn't know I was going to do all I did. I didn't know that. But see there, but once you step into it, and see that's where wisdom goes. Sometimes you need to go, and boy, you think, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to say when I'm there? What am I going to do about it? If you ain't ever been there, you ain't ever lived. I've done that many times. Go and think, what on earth am I going to say in this situation? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden I get there, and it's like another guy showed up. It's like, say, could I get him more often? See, the anointing turns you into another person. And it really does. It does. The wisdom of God starts to flow. See, I find that sometimes I think, dear Lord, where did that come from? I never knew that. it couldn't have came out of my wisdom. I didn't know it till it rolled out of my mouth. Then I knew it. Hallelujah. See, we have a smart God is what it is. He's a genius. Hallelujah. And he makes people even pretty dumb look good. Hallelujah. That's what I like about him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else need anything before we go today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just something that's rolling around in my spirit here. And I'll obey that, Lord. Escinde calla pronte e frinde gallazia la cotia la frode befrinina baracisce la lechena donianon me membre gedesce liatosce fe fretto che scisce liatesce ombrata fasagna la frata. I have a great plan for my people in this last day and time. For there's much seems to hinder. But worry not and be not afraid, for I have a plan, says the Lord. I have set it in motion. And I have people everywhere who are doing things, little things here, little things there. And it doesn't seem like much, but it's all the pieces to the puzzle. Yes, and they're falling together. And I have a church that's rising up that shall be great and walk forth in these last days and show the glory of God. So fear not and be not afraid. For glory is upon you, says the Lord. For I have put my hand on you. You are mine, says the Lord. You belong to me. Turn not back and look. Look not to the side or to the left. Look unto me, says the Lord. For you will find all your strength, hallelujah, in me, because I shall be your strength in this day and time. I will be your health. I will be your soundness of mind. For walk with me, says the Lord. Enjoy, rejoice, and be glad. Fear not, hallelujah. For the days are short, but they will be glorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise it. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, yeah, yes. There was one of the things that Kenneth Hagin had given a prophecy years ago. And one of the things he saw in that prophecy, he saw, it looked like it was a great light. It's like a ball of fire was heading toward the earth. And in that prophecy, he talked about, because the direction, the government, now this prophecy goes back in the 1960s. He prophesied, I'd handed it out here in church at prophecy. It was 1960. He prophesied about the communism that we get into our government to take, trying to take over. But he said this ball was going to come. And he said he saw it break up, and he said, fire fell upon the heads of men. Hallelujah. See, as in the church, the fire comes on the church. See, we're living this day, the fire. When I was up here, I was speaking, it was like I could just see that ball really close. It's like I could see that ball of fire really close, and the Lord reminded me of the prophecy. That prophecy. It's close. It's close. You know, I just want you, I can feel the heat of the fire. There's anointing. You know, there's an anointing of God in this last day. There is a great anointing. And we, the Christians and even ministers have leaned too much to their own abilities and things. There's one thing that I've learned in this last day. I am amazed what God brings through me. Because, you know, sometimes I can just feel so ill-prepared. And I'll get up and the anointing come, and it's God. And I think, dear Lord, is He ever good? It's His working. It's Him working. He's doing things in people beyond where we are at in our spiritual walk. And I'm talking about all of us. It's not just... He's working beyond. He's working beyond. He's doing beyond. Because one of the things, and this is one of the things we need to be very careful about. God's trying to bring the church and people. There's people in the church world in America here that are way off base and things like that. But you think God ain't going to move, but everybody got to get everything right for God to move? You need another dip. Because see, this is what happens. Whenever God moves, there's three different types of people. There's the ones that go on the ditch on the side. You got to get everything perfect. If we don't get in line with everything, God ain't going to move. You get the other ones on the other side and say, well, God will move no matter what we do. And then there's the sensible people in the center. Well, you know, we want to live right, but God's still going to move. If you can get perfect without God doing supernatural manifestations, you don't need Him. He better do something supernatural. If He wants to carry out His will, He'll pour out great grace.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And I'm going to tell you, great grace is getting poured out.
Amen.
Great grace is the ability of God's getting poured out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Receive it.
Amen.
Too many people are trying to arrive to their perfection. That's legalism. There's only one that can perfect me. And it ain't me. It requires my God to perfect me.
Hallelujah.
I've always stood and confessed all throughout Christian law, the good work He started in me, He will bring it to completion.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, He's done a good job. And sometime I tried to hold Him up, but He still did a good job. Hallelujah. See, I believe in His working. I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure about my work. I'm not sure about me tomorrow sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, my God changes not, and I can trust Him. And tomorrow, no matter what goes on, He'll be on my side. He'll help me. He'll do whatever. Hallelujah. If I trip and fall, He'll be the first run there to pick me up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's our God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You this morning. Lord God, I just thank You for the Church of Jesus Christ. I thank You for the believers. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful to have people that believe. Oh, my word. For Lord God, it just inspires us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To walk among people of like precious faith. Hallelujah. Thank You so much. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You that You're working in us mightily. You're doing wonderful things. Hallelujah. Father, all we ask You, we just want a part in this last day walk with You. Hallelujah. Lord God, we set ourselves, Lord, You don't have to set me on the top of anything. It doesn't matter. But Lord God, I just want to be a vessel that You can count on. I want to be a vessel that You can look to, hallelujah, that You can use. And Lord God, You know full well, I have a flesh body, and I have idiosyncrasies, and I have faults. But Lord God, You're greater than all my idiosyncrasies. You're greater than all my faults. Your glory and grace is far greater, hallelujah. And You will do mighty things, hallelujah. And Father God, Father, the biggest thing is I want You to use these people. I want You to demonstrate Your glory through them. I want You to reveal Your glory through them, that others can see the glory of Jesus Christ. I want You to manifest Yourself in them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, that Jesus is magnified, that Jesus Christ is glorified. Hallelujah. The wonderful works of the Bible. Jesus, You said the works that I do, that we would do also. I want to thank You. They're going to do Your works. They're going to demonstrate the glory. Lord God, they're going to heal the sick, raise the dead. Lord God, I want to thank You. They're going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. The blind will see, the lame will walk. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. The sick are going to be healed. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God, for working mightily in them. And Father, we promise this, that we will not take the glory to ourselves of what's done. We will always give You the praise and glory, because it's Your grace that works in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.